Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant. I am continuing my conversation with Vincent Lima, who was the editor of the Armenian Reporter, a weekly newspaper, published both in English and Armenian, between 2006-2010, Vincent lived in Yerevan and worked as the editor and brought the magazine onto the internet. Thank you for staying around, Vincent.
I'm happy to be here. My only complaint about living up here in Rochester is that I am not very close to Yerevan. And it's not quite as easy to make pilgrimages have your lovely food.
That is so sweet. You know, one of the warmest memories that I have of Yerevan is when Mom came to visit 2 years ago, and you, your brother, and the whole family came and brought Garina here.
Yes, it was a birthday occasion. We won't reveal the number on air, but it was a round number, and you made some wonderful treats.
And for the listeners that are wondering whom we're talking about, we're talking about Garina Lima, who's Vincent's mother, whom I met at Yerevan because she lived in Pawling, New York, and now she lives in Yerevan. And every time I go to Yerevan, I visit her, and we have a wonderful time together. Vincent, one of the reasons I reached out to you and I wanted to discuss this a little bit further, not only for my own sensibility and deeper understanding of what is Armenia, what is an Armenian. But when I visited Armenia for a long period of time in 2019, a couple of times, and then in 2020, and I hope to go back in at the end of this year, I realized, as you mentioned earlier in our other segments, that, you know, I had this images, these ideals and these ideas of what Armenian is, what Armenia is, who I am as an Armenian. And when I went to Armenia and saw the actual physical land, I saw the churches, the ancient monasteries, the beautiful landscape, a whole new sense of, oh my goodness, this is Armenia. And though it's very familiar, it has an unfamiliarity because I didn't grow up. It's not a place where I have memories from. So I wanted to pose this question to you, as a historian, as a journalist, you have an analytical mind, you see the world differently. You studied Russian and you speak Russian, Armenian, Farsi, English, and you were doing translation work. But the first time you went to Armenia was 1992, and then you moved there with your family in 2006 to be the editor of the Reporter. Did an evolution happen? Was there any sort of a metamorphosis in what is an Armenian? What is Armenia? Who am I? What am I looking at? What am I extracting? What am I identifying with? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but these, I think you get the gist of maybe what I'm asking.
Yeah, I want to add to your catalog of things that are amazing about Armenia, which you said, you know, the mountains, the territory, the churches and other architectural artifacts and all that. And that's the people. I really, really enjoyed getting to know people, both people I got to be close with, people I worked with, people I ran into here and there, as well, you know, as well as people I ran into incidentally, you know, from shopkeepers to taxi drivers to, you know, farmers, if I went to outside of the capital city. And that's sort of a love affair, just really appreciating people. Now, there are kind of two generations, right? There's the generation that grew up in the Soviet period with their specific experiences. And then there's, you know, people younger than you and me who didn't live in the Soviet Union. They just, you know, they grew up since, you know, they were born close to, when was it, 1991, when it became an independent republic, and it's an entirely new experience. And did I change? Well, we all change, and I feel a closeness to Armenia that is now born from an actual relationship with the place, including my mother living there now, rather than a vision of or a dream of this, you know, country that we've read about, this storied land, you know, from the biblical Mount Ararat to you know, whatever history I've read over the years.
One of the most striking things that I noticed when I was in Armenia, the first time I went to Armenia was 2007, and then but I went there like real as a tourist. I was there for only 3 days and just went to seeing different sites. But the last couple times, the conversations that I've had, it's amazing how just the young Armenians, you know, we're talking about 19, 20, 21 year old Armenians, you know, that are waiters or bartenders. They know more about U.S. politics. They know about the Speaker Pelosi. They know about the president, the vice president. They know about the internal workings of our government, but not only of our government, of French government, of British government, of Iranian government. And they are at least bilingual, if not trilingual or four languages. So what I want to say is that I think you're a lot more eloquent than I am. And I have been thinking about there is a depth of wisdom and a depth of curiosity that I don't quite know how to term when we're speaking about the people of Armenia. I don't think it's just curiosity. I don't think it is just education. I think there is something deeper. Do you have any guess, or do you understand what I'm pointing to? Can you see what I'm referencing?
I think that part of it, and maybe this isn't the part that you're trying to highlight, but I think part of it has to do with what part of the world you live in. And if you're living in a hegemonic state, you know, in the sort of in the metropole of the empire, you don't necessarily care about what's going on in the rest of the world. Whereas if you live in a situation where, you know, you're basically in a glorified small town. You know, the entire population of Armenia is, what, 3 million? You have to look at the world around you, and you have to be more aware of the world around you. And I suspect that it's not only in Armenia that people have that awareness. I think in much of the world where, you know, what happens in the outside world has a very direct impact on your life, there is a greater awareness, and people are surprised. People will ask me, so, you know, what do members of Congress, or what do, you know, people in the U.S. think about the latest development in, you know, local Armenian politics? And I often have to tell them they don't think about it, because no one could care less who the, you know, speaker of the parliament is here, whereas you might care, you know, what's happening in U.S. politics, because it may actually have an impact on your life.
Yeah, I understand. I understand you're referencing that it might have an impact on their daily life, but somehow there is a I don't quite know to term it wisdom, intellect. Is it an old world mentality? I don't quite understand, because I haven't experienced that in Europe. I haven't experienced that in England. I didn't really experience it in Georgia, and I spent some time in Georgia.
Interesting.
Maybe because, you know, I only speak English and Georgians didn't speak English very well. But it hit me very strongly when I was in Armenia. I mean, young, I mean, 18, 19-year-olds, you mm-hmm. know? And these are discussions that you have with 30, 40-year-olds.
I have one thought about that, which is that people often have to choose to travel, but also because of work, there's a lot of labor migration. And there's an interesting phrase, which is to come home to eat apricots. So if you're a labor migrant, often you'll come back in the summer just in time for the delicious, delicious Armenian apricots. You know, it's sort of the home of that particular fruit. And of course, they're coming back to see family and, you know, bring back some of their earnings and, you know, maybe get married or, you know, see old friends. But there's also this joy in the native crop. And I very much sympathize with that.
I do as well. And you're that's a beautiful segue. And I know that I'm an Armenian, so I may come across as very biased in my perspective here. But I was surprised, you know, when we speak of the word terroir, you know, of the land, of the soil in reference to wine, you know, now that I cook for a living, you know, flavor and taste are really important, and I pay attention to them more than I did before. The terroir of Armenia is really, really, it stands out. You know, I grew up eating albalu, black sour cherries. And I grew
up picking up,
huh?
Now you're talking.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. So, you know, and I go to a farm, Eager Brothers farm, every year and pick about 100 pounds. And it's a wonderful experience in the morning, because you hear Farsi, you hear Armenian, you hear Russian, you hear Afghani, you hear Polish. People come from hundreds of miles away to pick this black sour cherries.
Do you exchange recipes while you're doing that? Because I've also picked black cherries, sour black cherries in New Jersey, near Princeton, where we were before we moved to Armenia. And I had the same experience of all these different languages and exchanging some nice recipes.
100%. And there was one Iranian woman that was very peculiar about every single one that she was picking. And she freezes them and she eats about 4 or 5 a day. And that's how she dealt with her high blood pressure. That has stood out. But what I wanted to say, you know, I think it's not only the food, the familiarity of the dishes and the complexity of the dishes. I spoke to an Armenian woman in Armenia that very abruptly told me, oh, what are you talking about? Armenia does not have a cuisine, you know? And I vehemently disagree with that. As an American Iranian Armenian, who has lived in Armenia, the food, the nature, the soil, the air, the architecture, the aesthetics, how did, if in any way, enrich Vincent?
How did the food and the aesthetics enrich me?
The whole experience of living in Armenia, and food and aesthetics, the air, the landscape, the architecture, the analysis that you did as a journalist?
It brought me great joy to be able to experience the place, and I loved the big city, which is where I lived. And
in this case is Yerevan,
not exactly a big city, but yeah. for the purposes Armenia, of the country, the big city. And I also loved going out of the city. Yeah. I once tried taking the train, and I took the train to Echmiadzin, which is the home of the Armenian church, or the sort of, you know, the place where the cathedral and the Supreme Head and all that of the church are. I thought, okay, that's a nice destination. And I get off the train and I discover the train does not stop anywhere close to the cathedrals and all that. I was out in the farmland. And so the next train was going to be hours later. And I had this beautiful opportunity to go and talk to farmers, and who were very generous with letting me taste their carrots or whatever else they were preparing for market at that time. And that experience was as much fun as getting lost anywhere.
I want to, the reason I brought up the food is because, you know, we live in the U.S. and we think it's Italian food and French food. I think the flavors... We spoke about albalu, the black sour cherries. We spoke about the apricot. The flour, the bread in Armenia, you know, the butter in Armenia, the fermented butter in Armenia. I think the notion of, you know, the French really know how to eat, or the French have taught us how to eat, or that the Italian food is the home-cooked meal, you know, a good Italian mother. I think my visit to Armenia really shattered those perceptions. Even Persian cuisine, which is a very, very rich cuisine, the way the Armenians eat and the richness of the table that they sit, that they set, and how they enjoy themselves and how they share is something that was completely, it sort of shattered illusions for me. I was unaware of that.
And what you're saying also encompasses other cuisines in Armenia, doesn't it? I remember, I mean,
the influences of other cuisines, because Armenia is at the center of so many various influences over the centuries.
I was just thinking that I think it was around 2007 when my dad, who would visit, had this tradition of holding my older daughter's hand, and they would walk many, many blocks to get to the one place where they could get croissant. And that was their Sunday mornings. They would go and get croissant together. Now there are so many places where you can get really, really nice pâtisserie. And, you know, it's using local flour and local water and so on and so forth. It's not France, it's Armenia. But it's amazingly good. And it's better than a lot of other French baking that I've experienced. And I do seek it out.
Yeah.
Likewise, there are a lot of non-Armenian restaurants and you know, food joints there, which is part of the overall experience. And I appreciate that too.
We're coming to a close to our segment, but Yerevan has become a very international city, mainly because it attracts so many tourists. But I don't know about you. When I go to Armenia, I don't crave a croissant. I don't want a croissant. I want the Armenian bread. I want the Armenian cheese. And I want the Armenian butter. And that, to me, is just the flavors. Just the flavors of the butter and the cheese is amazing. And I think if you have butter in Sunik, or if you have butter by Lake Sevan, or if you have butter in Gyumri or cheese, you can taste the difference. It's a small country, but each region has its own flavor, you know, and that I found to be revelationary. Is that a word? Revelatory.
It's very revelatory, and I think that's part of the beauty of being able to get local products in a place rather than stuff that's been imported from a world away. I mean, we insisted on our avocados, which had to be imported. That was part of our table, but so were the sour black cherries, as you said, and the apricots. And, oh my God, the cucumbers and tomatoes. To have something as simple as a cucumber tomato salad, you know, with just the minimal seasoning, it was such a joy there. I mean, that's the first thing I'll have when I get there.
Yes, and we're out of time, and I need to say that the tarragon of Armenia is none to any tarragon that I've ever tasted. Vincent, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. I hope that we can see each other in person soon, hopefully in Yerevan.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you for having me as your guest. It's been
and again, as we say in Armenian, Aç gut luis for Nur, and extend my congratulations to Nur and her successor.
Thank you very much.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of The Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on The Saravan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravan.com on the web.